Good morning and welcome to the Morning Voice. I am Dr. Ed Ackerley. Matt Neely, you were talking about U of A football. We're going to have 3 hours of beautiful weather, and we're going to get that game in between 5 and 8:35 p.m. tomorrow.
I think you're right.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
Speaking of the U of A, I was at the Sudler Trophy installation.
I saw a lot of traffic on that last night.
It was great. The athletic director spoke, and the chief financial officer spoke from the U of A, and it was great. And I just have my hat off to Chad Shoopman and his crew. They did a fabulous job, and good luck to them. And tomorrow, hopefully, they stay dry during the football game.
Indeed.
So, yeah, it was great. And thanks to him for shouting out to me, too. That was great. This morning, we talk about success in the first hour, and then we talk about the University of Arizona in the second hour. We call that hour Wonder. This morning, we talk about businesses and organizations that are doing good things in Tucson, Arizona. And you can watch us live on Facebook and YouTube on 1030 The Voice. And our guest this morning is Laura Krasuski. She is the Senior Marketing Manager at Intentional Life Media, but also the 2025 PRSA Southern Arizona Board President. So good morning to you.
Good morning.
So our paths have crossed a little bit over the years. It was amazing when we were talking about how small Tucson is and how we kind of know each other from the university and from the radio world and those kinds of things. So you're at Intentional Life Media. Tell us a little bit about your role there and what you do.
Yes, I do marketing and public relations for Intentional Life Media. You might know one of our brands as 104.1 FM here in Tucson. We're a national ministry, so we've got radio stations across the country. We produce content that goes out all over digitally across the airwaves. So it's a real blessing, and we're headquartered right here in Tucson.
Yeah, one of our good friends, Randy Carlson, was part of that process.
And you'll have to say hello to our very good friend, Ray Ingenieri.
Oh, Ray used to be here, and he's there now.
Ray is with us.
He was here
for many years.
Yeah, he's a good man. And, of course, Dr. Kevin Lehman was there for many years as well, so the former Dean of Students at the University of Arizona. So what does APR, Accreditation and Public Relations, mean? What is that all about?
I decided to get my accreditation in public relations about a year ago. I decided I wanted to be the best that I could be at my job. I realized I didn't know everything I needed to know about public relations, so I went for it. And the second I cracked open that book, I took those online classes, I was immediately applying it to my job. So it helps me do my job better, but it also helps the company that I work for. So it's been... I'm so glad I did it. In fact, I wish I did it sooner.
Yeah. You're the president of the PRSA, Public Relations Society of America. You got an event coming up here in a couple days. And at that event, congratulations to you. You were surprised with the award. You're going to be recognized as the professional PR Professional of the Year award. So congratulations. Did you faint when they told you that?
Just about. They like to surprise the recipients, and I got pulled out of a meeting, and I thought, oh no, I have so much to do. The lights came on in the boardroom, and it was all the staff and my board members were there. It was quite humbling.
Well, congratulations to you. I know that's a little daunting, and we were talking a little bit about how it's not normal that a president of an organization is getting the top award from the organization that they're overseeing, but in this case, they felt it was important that they recognize your status. And so, how did that make you feel?
I felt seen. I felt that my peers recognized the work that I was doing, and I had been going for that accreditation in public relations while I was board president, and also training for my first powerlifting meet last year. So, and I had gotten a promotion at work by the grace of God. So I had a lot of great things going on, and maybe they saw that. I really was appreciative of that.
That's great. You've had a varied career. You started out at Park Place Mall as a special events and PR person, and then you moved to TAR, Tucson Association of Realtors, did a little bit there, and now you're over at Intentional Life. As you know, when you get a PR Professional of the Year award, it's kind of like to recognize what you've done this year, but also over your career. Why do you love PR so much?
It's an opportunity to connect with our internal and external audiences. So I get to share what's going on internally, make sure all staff knows what's happening, especially with Family Life Radio. We have so many wonderful things going on. But then externally, we get to share our story and connect with our audiences and our listeners and our donors. It's such a unique opportunity.
That's great. Could you just, in that year of a study for the test, but also just over your career since you graduated from the U of A, can you talk a little bit about maybe a story or something that just kind of focuses you on why you love this so much?
I think it's because I get to connect. Public relations isn't just about sending a press release. It's about creating mutually beneficial relationships with the public, with your audience, with the media, of course. So for us, we do a yearly ultimate baby shower in all of our markets where we collect baby items to help moms and babies and dads in need. Mm. And so it's helping the community understand the importance of this. They always step up. Every single year we get an abundance of donations to help these families. So it's fun because you get to share that and share that story.
Yeah, that's talk about grace. That's a wonderful thing. Our guest this morning is the president of the Southern Arizona Public Relations Society professional group. She's also got their wonderful award as the PR Pro of the Year. It's Laura Krzyzewski. She is a senior marketing manager at Intentional Life Media. When you talk about PR, you know, we talk about those of us in the advertising business, we go around and we buy ads on different commercial radio stations and TV stations and all sorts of advertising where we pay to have our message played the way that we want it to be said. In your line, in the PR line, it's called earned media, where you build these relationships and you work with influencers and media folks and people that are storytellers, and you try to share with them information that gets something meaningful that they want to talk about. That's kind of really powerful, isn't it, to have
it
people
is.
Tell your story for you and say hopefully positive things about you.
That's correct. Yeah. And it's fun. We get to team up a lot of times with Christian music artists who share their story with us, and then we get to share their story. Mm-hmm. And it's always a two-way street. And then our listeners hear their testimonies and say, oh, I have a similar story. So it just kind of, it's a ripple effect.
Right. You've got a pretty strong board at PRSA, and you've got a lot of wonderful professionals working in the PR space. Talk a little bit about that, being the president of PRSA and being able to work with all those professionals. They make you better, I'm sure, because
they sure
of
do.
How amazing they are. So.
It's been a real rewarding experience. I initially joined PRSA just to network coming out of the pandemic in 2022 and found myself talking to Sheila Storm, who was the incoming president
amazing.
For 2023. Hopped on the board doing communications, and then it just rolled from there. And so I have gained so much from being at PRSA. I've been sharpened by these people. They inspire me. It's just been so rewarding. And I've had a great time the last 2 years, in fact, being president.
Yeah. A point of personal privilege here. I was sitting in my office one day and some guy came along and asked me if I wanted to go to lunch next Tuesday. And I said, sure, where am I going? The Ad Club. Oh, what's the Ad Club? It's a professional association for advertising people. From that day, I moved through all the chairs, all the levels, local, regional, national. I became the chair of the American Advertising Federation. And I'm like, wow. Mm-hmm. And I tell people I have a doctorate. It's a doctorate in association management.
Yes.
that experience was 10 years. My doctorate was only a couple of years in my association management. So it is from a professional viewpoint. Being a president of a local association like that, it is an amazing gold star on your resume. So good on that. So let's just talk a little bit before the break here about what's coming up for PRSA. What do you got coming up in a couple of a little bit? The award ceremony, obviously.
Next week, we have our annual Impact Awards, and it is for all industries. It's such a fun event because we see, again, across all industries, but it's marketing campaigns, newsletters, website launches, initiatives, awareness campaigns. And the common thread is the amount of work that went into all of these campaigns. Mm-hmm. There's a four-step process, research, planning, implementation, and evaluation that goes into these. And the level of work is astonishing. And so you get to be in this room surrounded by all these people who put in so much work. So it's one of my favorite events actually to go to and just sit there and be inspired.
It's your second favorite event. Because your first favorite event that you're going to go to is to come speak to my class at the University of Arizona.
I love that.
In a couple of weeks, you're going to come and talk about what it's like to be the head of a PRSA in Southern Arizona. And it was kind of interesting. I asked you to come in and speak, and then one of your other people asked you to talk about this. Those two didn't converge until it wasn't planned that way.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, so it's cool that you're coming to speak to my kids to talk about your experience.
Yeah,
give them a little bit of inspiration. The class that you're coming to speak to is communications majors, and they, many of them in there, want to be PR professionals in their next life. And so
I hope I can help.
Oh, you'll be fine. You'll be fantastic. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk some more about what it's like being the president of PRSA Southern Arizona and being the professional of the year. That's pretty amazing, PR professional of the year. We're speaking with Laura Krasuski. She is with the Intentional Life Media, and she's the president of PRSA. We'll be back in just a minute with more on The Morning Voice. Matt, that weather report, you know, last night was the urban myth was circulating quite well that maybe they would move the game time to try and avoid the weather. So we got it from the top dog last night. It's still 5 o'clock.
So. I saw that Matt Brody. So leave it to a Matt to save the football game.
Right.
Matt Brody actually got on the horn with Coach Brennan and said these 5 inches of rain reports, that seems a little high in my opinion.
So, right. Yeah. So they're going to stick with the 5 p.m. Kickoff. So that's good. I was with Rick Croner, who's the general manager of Arizona Sands Club, and he just turned white and he cross-eyed when I told him that maybe they're going to move the start time. And, you know, that's logistically for a group like that with hundreds of employees, it's like, man, I wish I would have known this 5 weeks ago. So I got to text him. He was there last night, but I got to text him on the way home and say, I talked it over, and it's a 5 o'clock start. So he was like,
all right.
Thank goodness, yeah. Well, we're talking this morning with Laura Krasuski. She is the 2025 PRSA Southern Arizona Board President. PRSA stands for Public Relations Society of America. She's also a Senior Marketing Manager at Intentional Life Media, and she's also the 2025 recipient of the Public Relations Professional of the Year from PRSA. So good morning again to you.
Good morning.
Let's talk a little bit, you know, when you're going to come speak to my kids in a couple of, I shouldn't say kids, they're young adults, in a couple of weeks, one of the things that we'll probably be talking about is how AI has changed the world of media and new media and non-traditional media and all that good stuff. So what trends are emerging in public relations similar to AI that you think are important?
I think that now it's moved past what is AI and what are the tools to how to use it, how to do prompting, but how to do it ethically, which I feel like a lot of companies are still exploring that. You don't want to just copy paste. And I think we're exploring it at Intentional Life Media, Family Life Radio in terms of designs. Mm-hmm. You don't want to just have it design something for you and it looks, the person only has 4 fingers versus 5.
Right.
So I think it's doing it ethically and still being able to embrace it, but still being able to best represent your brand.
Yeah, that's interesting that you say that because we're having this discussion in the Elder College right now about the requirements for what it's to get enrolled into the college and so forth of language prerequisites. What are the prerequisites that you need? And two of them that they're talking about is functional AI of learning, you know, how to use it and how to use it well and so forth, concurrent with an ethics class.
Yes.
And so they want to be side by side, so using AI ethically so that, again, you're not stealing somebody else's idea and passing it off as your own. So,
exactly.
So that'll be interesting. So we can talk about that when you come in and talk with the students. How do you stay current with what's happening in the world and what's going on around us? It's just speaking of Tropical Storm Priscilla, it's just a tornado around us in this business that we're in. How do you stay on top of things?
I think it's important. I think the Public Relations Society of America, PRSA, really does a great job of keeping us as PR and communication professionals in the loop, in the know. They have one email that goes out daily with just articles and blogs and keeping us on track of PR trends, in fact. So that's number one. And then webinars, because things are constantly changing in how we do our jobs. Mm-hmm. That's important. And trying to stay on top of disinformation, misinformation these days, that is a plaguing trend that affects, I think, a lot of PR and communication professionals.
Right. It seems kind of a human trend is to kind of go negative right out of the gate. One of the reasons we have the Morning Voice is trying to be a little bit positive every day and talk. We talk about that. You know, the tough stuff needs to be addressed too, but we also, in the same breath, we need to talk about the good things going on as well. So being a public relations professional, especially at Intentional Life Media, it's mostly a positive story.
Yes.
And you do that nationwide, right?
Yes. And that's the beauty is that we get to talk to our donors during our pledge drives, and they all have a common theme, and it's we get to tune in and we hear positive, hope-filled messages. Our morning show even does the joy story, joy report of the day, and people call in and share those. So it gives our listeners that opportunity to experience hope.
Yeah, we don't want to stick our head in the sand and ignore what's going on in the world, but we also don't want to maybe focus too much on that and try and do some other things as well. So what advice are you going to give to my students about when they become a professional about their PR world? Now that you've had a pretty extensive career and you're the public relations professional of the year and you're the president of the local group, what would you tell a young person about who wants to get involved in PR? What would you say to them?
I say do it. And I say continue to network and grow. I know it's intimidating when you're younger, but do it. Get to know people, get some mentors, build those relationships, and never stop learning.
It's amazing how relationships play such a key role in PR.
It does.
It's not sometimes the story you have, it's the relationship you have with the person you're trying to,
exactly.
to tell that story. And so how important is Graham Hughes from Visit Tucson came and spoke to my class the other day, and he talked about how their PR folks develop relationships with the writers from the New York Times travel, blogs and so forth. And they spend a lot of time just building relationships, getting to know people. And, it's more credible if you know somebody and they're not just out of left field trying to pitch a story to you. If you know that you can trust them, that the information they're giving to you is powerful, that's a good thing for a PR professional to do. Tell us a little bit about PRSA and what your goals are for them over the rest of your term here. And as you launch professionals forward, what do you hope to achieve at PRSA?
One of the goals that we set out a couple of years ago when I first signed on as president was just to provide some great experiences for our local members. So whether that's a networking opportunity to connect and build relationships, our monthly webinars, or doing an in-person PR boot camp, it's equipping these people to do their job the best that they can. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about PRSA national and local, is it's not just being a part of a professional organization. We're giving you the tools to do your job the best that you can. Mm-hmm. So that's been really great. And we've got, like you mentioned at the top, we've got some great board members. We really do. And we've got a great incoming board next year. I'm excited to see what they're going to do. But we continue providing opportunities for people.
Right. I also like the fact that you do some networking with the American Advertising Federation,
yes.
the American Marketing Association, and other groups that are professional groups. And you guys are kind of a catalyst to bring them all together a couple times a year to talk about common communication issues that we all have in common. And we all face the same issues of credibility and relationship building and those kinds of things. So for you personally, you're going to stay with Intentional Life Media for a while. Besides being the world's best power lifter, what is your personal goals for the next few years?
Like I said, I never want to stop learning. It's a joy for me to crack open the book. So who knows what's next after that? But it's a real blessing to work at Intentional Life Media. And then I have a very large family, 13 nieces and nephews, 2 greats, and 1 on the way. So if I can just keep learning, keep growing my family, and keep growing my muscles, I'll be happy.
if someone wanted to connect with you and find out a little bit more about you and follow your journey, where would they go to find out more about you?
I put everything on LinkedIn, Laura Krzyzewski. I put a whole bunch of great things on there. I share about what PRSA is doing, some of my personal activities, as well as Family Life Radio. So
if you had one word of advice that you were going to give to somebody about what it's like being in the PR business, what's one takeaway or call to action that you'd leave them with today? Just do it, right?
Always, yeah, just do it and always keep on a smiling face.
Yeah, which you have. You're a very, very bright and cheerful person. The Morning Voice is about talking about the important things going on in the community. We do address on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and even a little bit on Thursday, and I address occasionally on Friday the challenges that Tucson has and what we need to do better as a community to serve the people that we're charged with serving, and how to do a better job of governance, and how to do a better job of using the resources that we have to clean up our town and make sure that everyone here is treated equally and so forth. But part of that is to talk about the successes that we have in our community. How do you define success?
We could go a million different ways with that one. I think success is helping people. How are we helping people in Tucson? Tucson is a very nonprofit-driven town, mm-hmm. very giving.
More nonprofits in Tucson per capita than any place in the country, they tell me.
So. Yeah, and people give back. In all the organizations I've worked for, there's always been a beautiful community aspect, and Tucson always steps up.
Yeah, it's amazing how deep that pot is when you go ask for money, how many people just keep giving. So we did it last night at the mm-hmm. at the band. It was just amazing. Well, Laura, congratulations to you on being the Public Relations Professional of the Year.
Thank you.
And congratulations on your good work that you're doing as the president of the PRSA, and even more importantly, what you're doing for an Intentional Life Media. So
thank you.
Look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks at the University of Arizona. Thanks to our guest this morning, Laura Krzyzewski, who is with Intentional Life Media. And we're going to take a break and come back and talk about picking apples down at down in Wilcox and Apple Annie. So you're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to The Morning Voice on this Friday morning. We're going to be playing some football tomorrow afternoon at 5 o'clock if Tropical Storm Priscilla remnants leave us alone for a while. Rain or shine, I've heard that the game is on at 5 p.m., so looking forward to that. Hey, we announced our next Eat and Greet. Our next Eat and Greet will take place on Thursday, October 23rd. It'll be at The Pad, which is a wonderful facility down on Toole Avenue. It is an indoor pickleball and padel facility. It has 9 pickleball courts and 7 padel courts. Some people call it paddle. And pickleball, of course, is that raging, wonderful new game that is taking the world by storm. But it was at the same time, ironically, both of these sports were created back in the 60s, but pickleball in the last 5-7 years has really taken off to be one of the most popular sports in America. And at the same time, padel or paddleball has taken off around the world in Latin American countries and in Europe and Asia and so forth. And if you haven't seen padel or paddleball played, it's kind of a combination between tennis, pickleball, handball, and racquetball, kind of all in the same thing. It's like a tennis game, but you get to play the ball off the walls. And so it's a kind of a unique, fast-moving, fun game to play. And so The Pad has both pickleball and padel. So we're having our Eat and Greet. It'll be on Thursday, October 23rd from 5:30 to 7. It'll be at The Pad. The food is going to be provided by Bamboo View Restaurant, which we had our very first Eat and Greet at Bamboo, and they're going to provide us with some appetizers. That should be fun.
Great.
And everybody gets a beer or wine when they come in and register. They get to have a complimentary cocktail on the pad, and then they get to look at the facility. And one of the features that we have that day is we're doing the umpteenth annual, I don't know how many, I think this is our 8th year of doing Thanksgiving dinner boxes. And so Coaches for Charity has, matter of fact, tomorrow, Saturday, I'm going to Richard Fimber's retirement party. And he retired from the city council after 18 years of service, plus his many years at the Department of Public Safety and on the Pima College Governing Board, and is now retired, retiring. And so we have a little party for him tomorrow. And he and I conspired a couple of years ago to deliver some Thanksgiving boxes to a couple of schools in the South Tucson area. And now we're up to 6 schools, 150 boxes. And our good friend Chef John Hone out at Gap Ministries is the one that his culinary team works with suppliers to build boxes, and they include a turkey and stuffing and potatoes and bread and all the things you need to have a wonderful Thanksgiving meal. And we take them to six different schools, and we provide them with all the fixings for a family of four. And we ask for donations from the community. We've already got five boxes underwritten. Well, I need 145 more to go, so we're doing pretty good. Mm-hmm. And so the reason I'm mentioning all this is we're going to be talking about it over the next few weeks. But at the pad, we're going to have the opportunity for people to pick up the sponsorship of a box or two or three or five or 10 if they want. So if you have an organization, a company, a group that's looking for some place to do some good over the holidays, it would be nice to have you sponsor a couple of boxes for the Thanksgiving dinner boxes. You can contact me. You can go to coachesforcharity.org. You can talk to Chef John out at Gap Ministries. You can reach us a number of different, call the station. You can do a number of different ways. The easiest way to do it is to go to coachesforcharity.com and, coachesforcharity.org. And there's a simple little way that you can press a button and make a donation and underwrite a box. So hopefully you'll be able to do that for us.
So you're taking your sweetie to the movie and popcorn and a Coke, and you're it's $45. That's a great deal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a trip to the movies for a couple.
Yeah, and that's what I just love about Gap Ministries. You know, John goes to bat for us with the suppliers, and you know, they're feeding people full-time 24/7 every single day of the year they feed people. But he goes to the suppliers that supply him the turkeys and the bread and so forth. And so there's a lot of donation on the backside that is being cooperative with the people that are helping us in this endeavor.
Well, and the great thing about John, he's an Iron Chef award winner.
He is.
Iron Chef Arizona. He is also helping people get jobs, careers, and into self-sufficiency.
Yeah, it's
in
amazing.
His kitchen. What he does there at Gap is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
What he's chosen to do with his talents and to elevate people's lives so that they can provide for themselves and a family and take their next step forward after maybe some rocky times in their lives.
Yeah.
So you're by buying this food box, you're getting a great deal.
Right.
You're helping the family that receives it. You're probably helping somebody take a step towards a job. So by doing this one act, you are helping like a whole bunch of people. Yeah. You're making a lot of goodness happen.
And I'll even include the principals of these six schools are just so thankful that they're able. And Thad Dugan is no longer principal of Apollo, but when we got started there, he called me one year and asked if they could give one of the boxes to one of the janitors. And I said, absolutely. And he said, this person works their tail off for us and barely, you know, they make a living, but not nothing great as a janitor. And that janitor was so thankful that the principal had thought about them and given them. So we leave it up to the school to decide. The TUSD schools have a system of how they get that information. We don't know who they're giving them to, by the way. We don't ask. We don't care. We just give them the boxes, and then they get to figure it out. So the schools that we do are Apollo and Utterback and we do St. John's and Santa Cruz, a couple of little Catholic schools, and two schools in South Tucson that Sixto Molina got us involved with last year. So a total of six, and it was kind of cool. My friend Val Romero, who's a TUSD governing board member, we got a truck from Arizona Cine Equipment. It's kind of fun to watch Val Romero drive a big old giant truck around. He did a great job, and so we'll probably...
He's the king. He's Elvis. He can do anything he wants.
Yeah, it was pretty funny to watch him.
Put a Cadillac logo on it.
Yeah, exactly. So we had a good time running around. Well, we hope to see everybody come down to the eat and greet. We hope to kind of have a mix. I got confirmation yesterday from my good friends at the Arizona Sands Club that they're going to make it an official event for them, and so they're going to invite their 1,500 members to come down and see the pad.
If we get
a few people from there. We've got all of our coaches for charity. We got great word yesterday. Thank the University of Arizona, thank the athletic department, Desiree Reed Francois and Elliot Tritz and that whole group. They've the Big 12, you know, Matt, with the realignment of the Big 12 and how we used to play women's games on Wednesday, Friday or Friday, Monday. Friday, Sunday kind of things for women's basketball?
I think that was the cadence, yep.
And then the men's was typically, Pac-12 was typically Thursday, Saturday, Thursday, Sunday kind of games. Well, Big 12, guess what? They play on Tuesdays. And so McHale Center was, they're playing a game on Tuesday, the day after MLK, the women's team, is playing. And guess what they need on Monday so they can get ready for Tuesday? They need the McHale Center. And so we worked with the athletic department, and in their graciousness, they are allowing us to come back and spend the entire day from 7 a.m. until midnight at McHale Center with about, there'll be about 14 teams from area high schools all across southern Arizona that'll be playing basketball on McHale's court.
Oh, goodness.
And we just want to thank the athletic department for their graciousness, hospitality, and helping us. I think we think this is our 20th year of doing that, and what a great experience for students. So, lots going on in the fall time. It must be fall in Tucson.
Indeed, everything's happening. Yeah. It's either fall or spring. Take your pick.
Yeah, yeah, and it's all kind of caving in on me, but that's okay.
And speaking of Al Romero and the King,
yeah,
Priscilla's coming. So just putting that out
there. That's amazing.
Priscilla, I don't think you're in a rush. Priscilla.
It all comes together. Yeah, fantastic. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. More on The Morning Voice. This is Ed Ackerley and Matt Neely. We're having fun on a Friday morning, getting ready for U of A football tomorrow. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. Hey, I mentioned Richard Fimbres. I guess I neglected to mention, brought to my attention, that on Tuesday, October 14th at 10 a.m. at 22nd Street and Cherry Bell Avenue, East parking lot, there's going to be a little press conference about the construction of the 22nd Street Bridge, and there might be a little bit of an announcement about Richard Fimbres, so we want to spread the word today. I'm going to send out a news release about the 22nd Street Bridge. We've been waiting 20-plus years to get that bridge completed, and we have the federal funding and the matching funds locally to hopefully get that started over the next few months, and it'll take a year or two or three or five or seven in Tucson. It may take 7 years to get it completed, but but anyways, the plan was approved, and it's like it should be. It's got four exits, and everything is as the community wanted it. And so on Tuesday, we're going to have a little press conference to talk about the good things that are ahead. And we want to thank Richard Fimbres for leading the charge on helping us get the 22nd Street Bridge revitalization done, and also to help us keep open that post office that's right around the corner there, which is important for the Tucson economy. So thank you, Jesse Lugo, for bringing that to my attention, and we'll get that press release out this afternoon. Well, we got a few minutes here before we go to Wonder, so I just thought I would bring in our guest who is with us this morning. His name is Steve Contreras, and he is the I call him the CFO, CMO, COO of our Mother of Sorrows Catholic Church. Good morning to you, Steve.
Good morning, Ed. How you doing?
Great, great. So a point of personal privilege, I have been a parishioner at our Mother of Sorrows for all of my life. My name is in the front couple pages of the baptismal book. That's how they used to record. So that's me. And and we've been doing a parish fiesta at our Mother of Sorrows for, goodness gracious, what year are we on? Like 30 or something like that?
Well, actually, no. This is our 46th fiesta.
Oh my God, shows how old I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, 46 years. It's amazing. Yeah.
We've only missed 1 year, and that was 2020 because of the pandemic.
Right,
but other
right.
than that, since 1978.
Yeah, and Bill and I, when we were young guys, we were helping with setup and takedown. We were in the teen group and the college, young college thing and all that, having some fun, so amazing. So, well, you're in charge over, I say you're in charge, you're the head mucky muck over at Mother of Sorrows. That's the pastor, then you, and so you kind of help run the place. We shouldn't say that. Cindy's probably listening, and she probably thinks she runs the place. So.
Yeah, she really does. She's a nerve center there.
Yeah. So, first, before we talk about the fiesta, let's just talk a little bit about our Mother of Sorrows and Eastside Parish and its history and our community and what it does.
Sure, absolutely. This is a wonderful parish, wonderful time. We're kind of regrowing, coming back from the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Like many other parishes and schools and such, we were hit hard because of the pandemic. And we've kind of evolved from there, kind of grown back from that. Mm-hmm. We're celebrating almost 66 years now since we were established in 1958, broke ground in 1959. Mm-hmm. And so there's just the community has evolved, it changed all these years.
Right.
And you know, it's a really nice new blend.
Mm-hmm.
We have families from different cultures coming in from all over the world.
Right.
It's just amazing. Even our pastors and our associate mm-hmm. pastors and such were coming from different parts of the world. We're able to bring such a beautiful blend mm-hmm. of these different cultures, the way they worship, the way they sing. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just fabulous.
Africa, Philippines, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Tucson, Arizona from George Holly, our pastor, Pastor George Holly. He's great. You know, it's been an interesting journey over the years. And you know, I talk about how old the Parish Fiesta is, you know, the new church, I think, is 28 years old now.
Oh, it's more than that.
Even older than that. I mean, I can remember when we built the brand new church. Well, heck, the new church is now in its third decade. So it's amazing how time flies. But and you know, all churches and even schools and so forth had their that rebound from the COVID years was tough because you know, you're sending everybody home from the school. You have a little elementary school there, and everyone is, you know, forced to go online, and then trying to get everybody back after that is tough. And parishes had the same. All churches, not just Mother of Sorrows. Every single church I've ever heard of
mm-hmm,
had a really tough time getting people back into the church after COVID. And so it's been a 5-year process of reassembly. And like you say, it's a new mix of people that are coming to church. And if you go to church, one of the cool things that we have at Mother Sorrows is the Sunday afternoon mass, which is just mm-hmm. packs the church. It's amazing. Hispanic yes, Spanish language
yes.
mass, right?
Yes, absolutely. Still packs them all in.
Yeah, that's amazing how huge that has become, along with all the regular English masses that are happening. So there's, you know, Monsignor Tom was there for, 38 years, and then had one pastor in between, and then Pastor Holly's been there for a while, but provide a lot of services to the community through our Mother of Sorrows. I think of things like Sister Jose Habde Women's Center. I think of things like Reach Out Women's Center,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Even the interfaith, Pima interfaith group that Monsignor was so big in. Mother of Sorrows has been a catalyst for community service work through its varied volunteers and so forth. I was at a Reach Out Women's Center little meeting about getting them a new space, and all the people sitting around the table were all from Mother of Sorrows, and it mm-hmm. was amazing how powerful Mother of Sorrows is in the community and in the social service areas.
Absolutely. We have a very strong St. Vincent de Paul chapter as well.
Oh, amazing, yeah. And a Knights of Columbus chapter.
Yes, they just started meeting now on our campus.
Right.
So it's really powerful, the work that not just locally but around the world that we're able to reach out to. Our Haiti ministry, which was originally headed by Joan Martin,
right.
She still administers that work, and even though she's not out there in the country anymore, but we're still providing support out there.
We'll come back after the break, talk a little bit more about the upcoming Parish Fiesta. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI Radio. We'll be back with Wonder from the University of Arizona after the break. Good morning and welcome to The Morning Voice on this wonderful, brisk Friday morning. We're going to have a little bit of rain today. It's going to rain in the morning tomorrow, and then about 3 o'clock it's going to stop for 7 hours so we can get that football game in. And then it'll come back midnight on
I'm clipping Saturday. This.
Yeah.
I'm clipping what you just said.
Okay, good.
We'll play it back for you next Friday and see how it worked out.
I actually was thinking last night of what outfit can I wear to just get totally drenched and still sit there. I just hope there's no lightning because we delayed 2 hours and 40 minutes on the first game. So hopefully there's no lightning. Hopefully it's just rain. That's what would be great. Well, this is Friday where we talk about Wonder, the good things going on at the University of Arizona, and the two gentlemen that are sitting in front of me. What the heck connection do they have with the University of Arizona? We have Steve Contreras, who is with our Mother of Sorrows. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
And we're a little early with Kieran Roach, but we're going to say hi to him. He's with the Catholic University of America. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And he is an assistant dean there, or a dean there at the Catholic University of America Tucson branch. So let's talk a little bit about Mother of Sorrows, and we got an event coming up, and I'm going to just point of personal privilege. I was talking to both gentlemen that there's a gentleman by the name of Father Andrew Greeley, and if you have been around the world for any length of time, you know that Father Andrew Greeley was a prolific author out of Chicago, and he wrote well over many, many dozens of fiction books that were top of the New York Times bestseller list for many years. And I was in the 78, 79. I had him as a teacher at the University of Arizona in the Religious Studies program. And what an incredible teacher. And he always had a little miniature tea kettle that he would plug in. It was electric, and he would have a cup of tea, a spot of tea during class. It was pretty amazing. But he was at the University of Arizona and teaching, and because Father Bob Burns had him there, he would come to our Mother of Sorrows and preach a couple Sundays a month at our Mother of Sorrows. And again, what a scholar, and what a great, refreshing voice he was. And so that's our connection with Mother of Sorrows. I'm a connection between the University of Arizona and Mother of Sorrows. I've been a lifelong parishioner there, and of course I've been 35 years at the U of A. So we'll talk a little bit about that. I guess I should have mentioned that The Wonder is sponsored by Caruso's Italian Restaurant on 4th Avenue and Hughes Federal Credit Union. So Steve Contreras, we've got a big event coming up tomorrow, and there's going to be
tonight and tomorrow.
No rain tonight, right? And we're going to have no rain. I've already given Matt the clip there, but it's not going to rain between 3 and midnight tomorrow. So the Mother of Sorrows Parish Fiesta, let's talk a little bit about that.
Sounds great. This is a wonderful time for our community to come together, and not just for the parish and the school communities coming together, but our local neighbors, and even around the city. We have people come out from all over the Tucson to mm-hmm. participate in our fiesta.
So there's food, there's entertainment, there's food, there's games and activities, there's food, there's delicious food. It's an amazing event, and it's on the grounds of the campus there in the field,
yes.
Right?
Yes, out there in our field there. We're very excited. We have some new things coming up. You know, as we were talking previously about coming back from the pandemic, when we first came back, we had food trucks out there because mm-hmm. of the Pima County health regulations, right. Those kind of things. Well, those are now gone. So this is the first year we're not using trucks, and we have our three food booths back. And this year we have, again, our Mexican food booth, which is always
amazing.
Great food. Carne asada tacos, I mean, burritos, you know, quesadillas. I mean, wonderful food. It's a huge staple, very, very popular. We also have our American food booth, which has hamburgers, cheeseburgers, hot dogs, nachos, I mean, all kinds of stuff. But this year, we're also having something new, thanks to Chris Nguyen and his team from Q&T Services. We have Vietnamese food, and we have some seafood, some shrimp, we have some pork sausage, and we have some egg rolls. So brand new entrees for us.
Right. There's also a beer garden, which is
yes.
nice for people like me to sit in the beer garden and watch all the things going on around us. That's fun.
Just to get shade from the sun, of course.
Sun, yeah. It's a nighttime event, but we'll go ahead and we'll sit. I got to get in the shade at night. So
the danger of moon UV rays are
yeah, exactly.
untold.
And then you've got entertainment throughout both nights, so it's a lot of entertainment, right?
Yeah, so this year we have a folklorical group coming back, doing some dancing for us Friday and Saturday night. Always a wonderful time because we have young people coming in and performing their cultural dances, which are mm-hmm. fantastic. Also this year, brand new, we have the South Point Strings coming on Saturday mm-hmm. evening as well to perform.
Excellent.
So it's going to be a good time.
And it's also kind of involves the school. So there's a couple hundred kids and their families that go to the school, and many of them are from all over Tucson. They're not just within the neighborhood. When I went to school there maybe 50 years ago, it was kids in the neighborhood, but now the way that the school system works, they're coming from all over.
27 different zip codes.
Right.
It's amazing.
And they're coming there for that Catholic education that they get, which we're going to talk about that leading into college here in just a second. And that's an important, I'm a product of it. Bill's a product of it. My family went to Mother of Sorrows Elementary School for the first 6 years for me. And when I went into Carson Junior High School, which is not even in existence anymore, I'm not sure I picked up a book for 2 or 3 years. I was so far ahead of the other kids in my classes. It was amazing. I did get to do things like woodworking and mechanical drawing and picked up a second language and so forth, which I was doing other things. But the English, writing, arithmetic stuff that I was so far ahead of the other groups, I attribute that to the great education I got at Mother Sorrows. So school's an important part of what we do at Mother Sorrows, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And we got a new principal. Well, she's not new, but she's been there about a year.
Yeah, Pamela Tinley.
Tinley, and she's doing great and has some experience at St. Ambrose and other places. So
yes,
she is doing a good job of pulling that all together. And we've got a relatively young new pastor. He's been there about 3 years, Father George Holly. And so it's great. So this weekend is going to be food, family, and fun in a church fiesta, and it's 46th year. That's amazing. Another thing that happens is there's a little drawing for prizes.
Yes, a raffle.
Yeah.
$1,000.
Yeah.
Come, you know, whoever gets paid to come to a fiesta, this is an opportunity.
Right.
We got a $1,000 grand prize. We have a $500 first prize and a $250 third prize there.
Yeah.
So
I was on the committee many years ago when this all came up, and dare we give out money as a prize for the raffle? It was a big, big discussion because, you know, they thought that was a little sacrilegious that we're giving away money. But the purpose of the fiesta is to raise money for social service things that we do throughout the year as a church, not only on the local campus and helping regular order of, and you're the financial guy at the church. What do we do with all this money that we raise from a fiesta? Other than bringing people together, there's also a financial component to it.
Absolutely. So this is what the single fundraiser for the parish itself as a whole. A lot of our other ministries may have small little, you know, bake sales, things like that, but this is the one time where the community comes together to support everybody, because everybody wins. Literally every parishioner, every student, every school family, even our local communities benefit personally from this fiesta, from the funds we raise, because the parish is like the umbrella that feeds everybody, that covers everybody, that helps support everybody. And whatever that need may be, like we've been investing a lot in our school. We've been very active, like you said, with Sister Jose Women's Center. We reach out Women's Center. A lot of these ministries, St. Vincent de Paul, like I mentioned before, all benefit from this. And so there's literally not only a fun time that you're giving, but you're also receiving, and you may not even realize that. It's just amazing.
When Monsignor Tom Cahaline was the pastor, this topic came up. We had had a parish picnic for many, many years. Father Poirier instituted that back in the 60s, and it was just a picnic where everybody came together and just had a picnic. And the idea of moving it to a fiesta format where we were raising some money so we could support these ministries that were so important to the community, again, it met with a little bit of resistance, but 46 years later, it's one of the most major. Matter of fact, I think it is probably the longest running parish fiesta that has continued in its form in Tucson. There's a couple of others that have kind of been, they'd probably argue with me, down at Santa Cruz and Holy Family and a couple of places that have had their little fiestas and stuff. But this is one of the major ones that has existed for a long time and
Absolutely.
Continues to be a pretty powerful force. So it starts tonight, Friday night. What time does the fiesta get going tonight?
5 p.m. till 10 p.m. And then Saturday, again, 5 p.m. starts and closes at 10.
What if it rains? Are we going to, there's stuff that's inside, right? There's a couple things going on inside.
Yeah, we have our White Elephant is a huge event every year. I mean, you talk about not just a rummage sale, but this year in particular, we've had so many donations, people coming and dropping things off. It's packed. It's packed in our parish hall out there. So there's all kinds of stuff there. We have our bingo. We have a new bingo format for our games this year. And so people have to sit down right next to the beer gardens. You have a beer, you play some bingo, let the rain sprinkle a little bit, and then you get back out there.
Right, right. And the White Elephant, I just have to mention that. What a great thing. So many people donate so many gently used items and give them to the White Elephant. And it is amazing the amount of stuff that leaves, that comes in first, but then leaves in the course of a couple of days. It's amazing. We want to thank all those people that have donated so much over the last couple of weeks to fill up the what I call the old church. It's now the parish hall. It's a big, giant hall full to the brim with. So if you're looking for a bargain, come tonight and be there early, because there's people get there early because they want to see what's available. So
yes, indeed.
It's kind of a neat thing. And then we got some great entertainment tonight and tomorrow. And of course, food, delicious food, beer, and just a great atmosphere and a wonderful place to build community. Which
absolutely.
Is really cool.
It's, you know, it's a family-friendly environment. It's safe. It's very peaceful. People come together. Sometimes, you know, a lot of our volunteers, you know, from the school and for the parish come together. They kind of meet there because they're working together, and then friendships develop. Things grow. Right. We have our cake walk, which is sponsored by our school there. Primarily, they're taking care of that for us. They have a little a photo balloon set up there, so you can take family pictures there. Just make it kind of a fun thing. Our team MD, our youth group, sponsoring the game booths there. So, face painting. We had such a huge hit last year with face painting, and now we have, I think, two or three people doing the face painting this year because it's just the kids love that, so it's going to be great.
And Mother Thrall's is located at 1800 South Kolb Road. It's on Kolb between Golf Links and 22nd Street on the west side of the street there at the corner of 29th and Kolb, and it's easily gotten. There's lots of parking, and God bless our neighbors, because our neighbors for the last 46 years have allowed us to park in all parts of the neighborhood, up and down the streets, and they've just been so gracious. We've never really had a problem with any of our neighbors. That goes back to when we first started. We took roses around and knocked on the doors of every single neighbor to the parish and told them what was going on and that we were going to be having a lot of people, and what did they mind? And no, we don't mind. It's great. We're glad you're doing something for the community. So the neighbors have been just so gracious.
Yes,
let's,
they have.
Just take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll fold the two together. We'll talk about faith and community connection. We'll talk about Mother of Sorrows. We'll talk about the Catholic University of America and how Catholic education is so important in this world that we live in, and talk a little bit more about what we can do as a community to support both of you. This is The Morning Voice on KVOI. We'll be back after the break. Matt, for the fiesta tonight, we're looking at that 30% that it's not going to rain for that 30% of the time.
70% chance that it won't rain.
That's true. It
there
is.
You go.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Let's go with that.
We're going to go with that. And we're going to go ahead and have a fiesta, rain or shine. So I guess it doesn't shine at night. I guess the moon is shining pretty big.
It's a fun event. It's been a few years since I've gone to it, but this is a good reminder, and get to see you and Steve and the crew there. So this will be real nice. Maybe we'll stop by this evening.
It'll be fun. Well, welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am Dr. Ed Ackerley. On Fridays, we talk about the good things happening at the University of Arizona, and I call it Wonder, and we talk about the wonderful things happening at that big facility at Speedway and Campbell. I often say that people drive by and see those red brick buildings, they look over and don't really know what's going on there. So we've made an attempt over the last 19 months to share as much as we can about the good things going on there. Wonder is sponsored by Caruso's Italian Restaurant on 4th Avenue. Been there for 93 years, serving Tucsonans, good friends of ours. And one of their owners was a 40-year professor at the University of Arizona. So they have a good connection to the U of A. And also our good friends at Hughes Federal Credit Union, who will be here next week talking about cybersecurity. Hughes is a great sponsor, and we welcome them and love what they do for the community. We also have a couple of people here who are doing great jobs for the community in terms of community connection and faith development. Steve Contreras, who is the chief financial officer at Our Mother Sorrows Parish. Good morning to you again, Steve. I gave you a bonus and a title there. I hope you're okay with that.
That's good.
Yeah, we'll call you CFO, CMO, CIO, COO. Okay, that's what you're. You're a bunch of C's. Okay, you're Steve Contreras, a bunch of C's after your name. So, Steve, you've been at the parish for a long time. You were a parishioner first, and now you're working for this place. So
yeah, we started here over 30 years ago as a family. My kids were all young, and now they're all grown up doing their own thing.
Right.
I've been the business manager now for the last 10 years.
Right, and you're doing a great job, and you helped us weather through that storm of COVID. That was a tough time for everybody, but people were faithful with their donations, and we're still, like all organizations, we struggle from time to time, but at least we're still alive and doing well and providing services to lots of people. Also with us is Karen Roach. She is Assistant Dean of the Catholic University of America. Good morning again to you.
Good morning again.
We love to have you here and talking about the good thing. So let's talk with both of you a little bit as we're talking about Mother of Sorrows and the fiesta tonight and tomorrow night, and talking about the impact on the community. Mother Sorrows, of course, lots of different tentacles out there serving the community in so many different ways. The two biggest ones are, of course, the Reach Out Women's Center with R.J. Saavedra, and then the Sister Jose Habde Center for Women, and Joan, who was there for a while. She's kind of semi-retired now, but she's still working there, and Mother Sorrows has been a real support there. So that's an example of a local church community developing infrastructure into the community that makes a big difference. And so that's displaying your faith and your servant leadership style out into the community. So Mother Charles has done that. But so has the Catholic University of America, too. You guys are big on service and getting your kids out, students, I shouldn't call them kids, they're students, young professionals out into the community to serve the community well, right?
That's right, and that's really the main mission of the main campus. So it started from the D.C. campus, the Catholic University of America. So it's the Pontificate College of the United States of America. So really leading the way and saw an opportunity out here in the Southwest to continue providing a high-quality, rigorous Catholic education to those who don't have the means or the desires to go to D.C., but to be here locally. We say we live in the Sonoran Desert, but we might as well say a college desert. There's not a lot of college options out here. And so we wanted to be able to give opportunities, and it's the first time in our diocese that Catholic higher education in-person teaching has been made available, and we're seeing a huge demand for it. We've got 95 students currently in the program who are just really thriving and enjoying what they're doing.
Are any of those 95 or the ones that have come before them, or any of them former Mother of Sorrows elementary school kids?
We've had some students that have been parishioners at Mother of Sorrows because they had a very robust young adults group, especially even when I was growing up. I'd had spent many times there. And so it is a handful came from Mother of Sorrows and also from St. Augustine Catholic High School. So,
which is also kind of, I'm going to say this, that St. Augustine is kind of an outgrowth of Mother of Sorrows. And the principal there is used to be the principal at Mother of Sorrows. And when they started the high school, we kind of helped launch that. It's kind of fitting because that's where the first masses for Mother of Sorrows were at the chapel at the seminary before we built what is now the hall. The first masses were held out at Regina Clary Seminary, and for about 6 months before they got the what's now the current hall was the church was being built. So it's kind of full circle kind of a thing. So when St. Augustine's was created, Mother Sorrows had a big hand in that and helping the bishop make that happen. So let's talk just a little bit about faith in the community. So Steve, it's I ran for office and so forth, and there's obviously in our Constitution the separation of church and state, but that doesn't mean that faith communities can't be involved in the community. They are as important as any other institution or any other movement, faith-based organizations like Mother Charles, like the Catholic University of America, getting out into the community. That's an important mission of what we do, right?
Absolutely, and it's an expression of that faith. And when I always look at secular organizations, how much better they are because they have people of faith, they have people of good character in those organizations, which make them all prosper. Everything goes better that way. And so it's an active participation in your faith.
Mm-hmm. And so, Kieran, you're, as students who are involved in the university, whether they be from Mother Charles or all across the diocese, coming in to getting some instruction in business or whatever they're taking, you really emphasize the fact that community and being part of the community and being that shining light is really an important part of their learning and what they're going to be doing in their future careers, right?
Yeah, no, very much so. And I think that's where a lot of students we're seeing are choosing our program. So our motto of the university is God is my light, and we let that guide. But also, too, we like to describe our campus as very much incarnational, where the word of God is made known and lived out. And it reminds me of actually when we started the program, the business leaders came and what they were most excited about, which I thought was going to be the skills and the pipeline of talent, but they were actually excited to learn about the ethical and moral and liberal arts degree that we're offering, because the business community was sharing their hardest hires has actually been finding moral, ethical, entry-level positions that are trustworthy, reliable, and they were excited to see a program that instills that. And that's where the ethical, moral, and faith component is really embedded throughout our whole curriculum and also our presence. And we're really thriving on being a family and supportive and just being the community that Jesus came to reveal. And you can see this in action on any given Friday. We meet in person on a Friday. The rest of the classes are done remote online, but in person, all the students come in, and there's a real feel of community and family, and that's two words that the students do talk about a lot We get asked, how can we build such a strong community by only meeting one day a week? But I encourage anyone to come and see it, because we can do it and the students really enjoy being present.
Great. We'll come back after the break and talk a little bit more about faith and community. Can you stick around for a little bit, Steve?
Absolutely.
Great. We'll come back, talk a little bit more about the Catholic University of America and the Mother of Sorrows Fiesta tonight starting at 5. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI. We'll be back after the break. Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Voice on this Friday, where we talk about wonder, good things going on at the University of Arizona and throughout our community. It's amazing what the impact the U of A has in all of our lives over the last, since 1885, however many years that is. You're better at math than I am, Matt, so that's 140
Steve's
years.
Steve's better at math than both of us.
Yeah, that's why he's the CFO of our Mother of Sorrows. This is the Friday edition of The Morning Voice. It's sponsored, by Hughes Federal Credit Union. Our good friends from Hughes, they'll be here next week for a little conversation about cybersecurity and keeping your financial and personal life safe, and also sponsored by Caruso's Italian Restaurant, our good friend Andy Motzkin, who's part of the wonderful Motzkin family that are parishioners of our Mother of Sorrows for many, many years. Harry Motzkin was the dad, and Mary Motzkin, wonderful family, Belinda and all the crew. And kind of the tie-in there, one of the Motzkins was married to the principal of St. Augustine, so it's a small world that the Motzkin family is part of Caruso's Italian Restaurant, and they are wonderful friends of ours, and sponsor Wonder with Hughes Federal Credit Union. Our guests this morning for Wonder are Kieran Roach. He's the Assistant Dean of Catholic University of America in Tucson. Good morning again.
Good morning.
And with us still is Steve Contreras, who is the business manager. I gave him a couple titles, CFO, CIO, CMO, COO of our Mother of Sorrows. Just don't tell Cindy that I gave you all those titles, okay? And welcome back to you, Steve.
Good morning, Ed.
So we were talking about our Mother of Sorrows, which is, again, Steve, just give us a quick rundown. A parish that's been around since 58. Tell us about what Mother of Sorrows is and what's happening tonight and tomorrow.
So, yes, we are at Eastside Parish here. We have a wonderful fiesta event starting tonight at 5 o'clock through 10 o'clock tonight, and then tomorrow as well from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. It's a wonderful community event where people come together for food, family event, fun, and just having a good time hanging out.
It'll be great. Yeah. Rain or starlight, we're going to have this fiesta. It's going to be great. So.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Again, there's a 70% chance of no rain.
There you go. We love that. And Karen, you tell us a little bit about the Catholic University of America here in Tucson. You've told us that there is a in class today. Students are arriving now, and they're going to be in class most of the day today. Tell us where you hold those classes and how that all works out with Pima.
Yeah, we're at the downtown Pima campus on the corner of Stone and Speedway there. And so we have now a student body of 95 students that come, and our classes typically are hybrid or fully online. And when we describe hybrid, we describe that as students work Monday through Thursday in the learning management system and then come in person for a one-hour class for each credit course that they are taking. And the students really enjoy that in-person time. And then we build a really intentional schedule on that Friday and build a sense of community, reveal the community that Jesus came to establish right here in Tucson.
Yeah, and this is called Wonder, and it's to highlight the good things going on at the U of A. I shared the information of how we tied in Mother of Sorrows with the University of Arizona, great partners over the years from a zillion different ways, including Father Bob Burns from the Religious Studies, being a frequent preacher at Mass at Mother of Sorrows before he passed. It was a great breath of fresh air, and Father Greeley and so forth. The University of Arizona is also been reached out to you, and one example you gave me was the ethics competition, right? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we like to say we're stronger together here in Tucson, and we've just been very appreciative of Dr. Melendez and the invitation to come and part of his ethics competition. We got an invite by Diane Sotelo, who also supports the Mendoza Center there with that. And so what we do with the ethics competition is we'll be sending some students next week. They're actually working on a case study, and they'll go in and compete against other colleges. And from that, a winner will be chosen. So this is the first time that we're invited and part of that, and really appreciate the University of Arizona in welcoming our students.
That's what's good about the U of A, a wonder of including the community and the things that they do. Part of the show is to help them spread the word about the good things that they have and engaging in the community. Well, both of you are at Mother Sorrow's Elementary and Middle School, always looking for new students, and you, of course, are, as a university, always looking for new students. So, Steve, in terms of recruiting, the school is available to anybody in Southern Arizona that wants to come to Mother Sorrow's.
Just absolutely.
Make a quick call, 747-1321, right?
That's right. Yeah. And just scholarship monies are out there, so right. It really is takes a lot of the burden off the families themselves, so it's a really wonderful opportunity to get a good quality Catholic education.
Yeah, you can apply to the Catholic Tuition School Organization, CTSO, Catholic Tuition School Organization. Just call the school and school will connect you with the ability. So a lot of the students that are at Mother of Sorrows have 100% scholarships and they're able to attend school without too much of a burden. And then there's other students whose families can afford it, and so they're mm-hmm. paying the full freight. But the kind of a good mixture between those that can afford it and those that need some help with a scholarship, that's great. In terms of your recruiting and so forth, you just... welcome to class of 46. So tell us how that's going, recruiting in Southern Arizona.
Yeah, we're very excited by that. So it's our largest class that we've recruited for this coming fall semester. And we're just appreciative, especially we've been recruiting what we would call traditional students, those from high school in. And so a good percentage of that incoming class are what we would consider traditional students from our local area high schools. And so we're seeing students from a lot from Tucson High, Flowing Wells, and believe it or not, even down in Nogales, taking an opportunity to do that. We also feed from some of our private Catholic schools. And with the students coming in, we really have this like quality Catholic education continuing similar if students have attended parochial Catholic schools, continue that. But students do not need to be Catholic to be in our program. We do this because we're Catholic. We know the importance of education and especially a bachelor's degree and the opportunity that it opens up. And we want to give that bachelor's degree to as many people as possible. And again, it's for people who don't have the means or desires to go to Washington, D.C. If you want to go to D.C., that program's very robust and long and storied. It's been around since the 1800s, real prestigious college. It's one tier lower than, would say, the Ivy Leagues, a top-tier research institution. Our nursing school in D.C. just got named the 26th in the nation in the way of nursing programs. So it's a very prestigious, very, very strong alumni and presence in serving and providing a quality Catholic education. And then we brought that here to Tucson at a fraction of the price. So the D.C. campus is more than 40,000 a year if students would like to go up there and experience an on-campus in-dorm living with a very great experience from sports teams to programmings of their choice, as well as then in Tucson, we've brought that same rigor and that same Catholic quality of education, but brought it in a way that's accessible to students here in Tucson. So our average tuition is around $12,000, and students can get the same rigorous quality Catholic education that will lead them to job. And a big part of what we do is we start as early as freshman years, have students thinking about the careers and industries they'd like to go into. Because by the time you wait for senior year, it's too late to do that. And so we encourage students to really start identifying those areas and working and building those networks and connections and that sense of community that we do it well as a church, but also out in the business community and the ecosystems that exist here in Tucson, and getting students exposed to that.
Do you have any examples of some students that we can talk about? I guess we can talk about their names on the air, but do you have, or we can, a student A, student B, student C. Do you have some stories that you could tell us of maybe a couple of people who have?
Absolutely. No, we have actually 13 graduates, so we're really proud of those graduates, and all of them are actually doing amazing, incredible things. So one of our most recent ones is David Alvarez, and he's actually down in Nogales, and he recently got a job as a clerk down at the city office there, and he's an assistant to the mayor down there. And what he shared with me was that he would not have been able to even interview for that job if it wasn't for a bachelor's degree. So that bachelor's degree is most important, and we're seeing still get students into job interviews for that. But then also too, he said the degree we offered, the management degree, gave him such a well-rounded education with the skills and qualities. And over the 4 years he grown, he came as a shy student that really didn't speak in a lot in front of other people too, we do a lot of presentations, a lot of networking events, and over the 4 years, he really positioned himself and been able to work on his presentation skills and able to secure this job. We've had Bella, one of our students, an amazing student. She actually just got a job with the finance department of Mr. Car Wash, so one of the only publicly traded companies here in Tucson, Arizona. We aren't a finance major, but she was able to get a job in the finance industry. Gives you an idea of the quality of students and the connections that we can make. So those connections with Mr. Car Wash came from relationships that we had secured. We also had an alumna of St. Augustine Catholic High School, Samantha Reynolds. She actually got a job with an accounting firm here in town. And what was interesting is she had no interest in accounting. And I actually, her senior year, told her to do this interview practice skills, at least for the internship, just to get used to going into interviews for a job that you may one day want. Out of 16 students, she was actually chosen to do the internship, and she's still working there today after graduating, and they're training up in Sigma 6 training. It was really great.
That's cool. And these are all examples of students who have gone through the rigorous academic training, much like they get at Mother of Sorrows Elementary School. They continue their rigorous Catholic education through their bachelor's degree. And as I said earlier, for me personally, it launched me into a different stratosphere. It was amazing what a Catholic education does for you. People may not understand it, but it's all-encompassing, and it gets to your very core, and that makes you a different kind of a person. Nothing against public education. I teach in public education. It's just a different kind of an approach to education. So,
and what's great about our campus, too, is that our students are from Tucson. So you come on a Friday, and you see the students, and they look like Tucson students, and they are Tucson students. Similarly, a big benefit of our program is that our instructors that teach are also from the community. So we've had former CEOs of companies that come or work with that, such as Barry McInerney, who's worked a lot in history of his own career from Canada and working over with the Bank of Montreal, that students get exposed in relationships with senior and seasoned professionals who mentor and want to be that. We've had Shema Embasfarad at the Tucson Federal Credit Union,
right,
who teaches.
Yes.
And so she was great. What a great story about Shema and just her love of Tucson. She's very connected and teaches our business communication class. She has a lot of experience with students, but what's cool is that she identified a student that really connected within the program, got Tucson Federal Credit Union to be an internship partner, and then had that student come in and get credit for being an intern, and then even before this student graduated, gave them a full-time job. So our students are getting full-time jobs in communities even before they graduate, and that's something unheard of.
Shout out to Michael Lamb, and shout out to his dad, Rob, who comes in frequently and is a guest on our show, and just a wonderful family, and Michael's a great kid, and glad he's working at Tucson Federal Credit Union. That's amazing. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up. We'll talk about the good things that both our Mother of Sorrows is doing and the Catholic University of America here in Tucson. This is Wonder, where we talk about the good things in education and in Tucson, Arizona. We'll be back after the break. You're listening to The Morning Voice. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. We're talking education this morning, something that we do every Friday when we talk about Wonder. Good things going on in education at the University of Arizona, sponsored by Caruso's Italian Restaurant on historic 4th Avenue and Hughes Federal Credit Union. You're listening to The Morning Voice. Our guests this morning are Steve Contreras, who is the office manager. I gave him some titles of CFO, CIO, CMO, COO, a guy in charge of all the money and the things going on at Mother Sorrows, Steve Contreras. Good morning again to you, Steve.
Good morning, Ed.
And Kiernan Roach, who is an assistant dean of the Catholic University of America in downtown Tucson, offshoot of the wonderful college in Washington, D.C. Good morning again to you, Kiernan.
Good morning.
So let's wrap up by talking about what a student gets out of their education. I kind of gave my own personal testimony to that of how powerful it was in my life and continues to be. Steve, I was fortunate to speak at the 8th grade graduation last year. It was nice to be invited to do that, and I kind of gave the students a little view into my life and how important my education at Mother Sorrows was. What do you think the students at Mother Sorrows get out of their education? The fiesta tonight and tomorrow helps support the education that students are getting there at Mother Sorrows Elementary and Middle School. What does a student get out of that?
Well, it's wonderful because they have a good foundation in their faith, as well as a good quality education. Our school feeds not only St. Augustine, but also South Point and other Catholic schools. And so we have a good connection, a good history of working with
right.
these other schools that they take with them the rest of their lives.
Right. And they take that into high schools around town, St. Augustine, St. South Point,
San Miguel,
which has also got a nice little internship program as well. And they bring it to the Catholic University of America. And what are your students taking away from their experience when they, like these 13 graduates you have so far, this 46 new students coming in, what are they going to take away from their experience at the Catholic University of America?
Yeah, we like to say surround yourself with good people and then become who you are. So that very much connectedness that in the community, but also to this bachelor's degree, this very powerful coveted bachelor's degree that can get you into jobs and interviews that you may not otherwise. Also could potentially get you a loan if you need some collateral outside mm-hmm. of a house or a bank. So we know the bachelor's degree is very important, as well as just continuing. We have master's pathways into each of our programs. So students can actually, even their senior year in our program, can count their senior year as master level courses for the price of a bachelor level course, and then do one more year on from that and get a master's degree. So in theory, a student can in 4 years have a bachelor's and master's degree with the program here in Tucson. And we're also expanding into other certificates and associates, like a new paralegal program that we're going. And we're looking to move into some cybersecurity coming up, as well as some masters of information technology. And also too, the main campus has this accelerated bachelor's in nursing that we're looking to deploy in the future. So again, this higher education is always an investment that brings a return, and that's why it's called higher education, in the way of higher critical thinking, but also too, we'll say higher salaries. And that's what we tell students, that if you leave with just a diploma in high school, you'll be caught and stuck in this minimum wage job, but 4 more years of college will move you into a position where you're making 20, 30, 40, 50, north of that, dollars an hour. But better still, a job where maybe you can have more control of what hours you work rather than being at the whim of a manager. And also, too, during a job where you lead. And so our students are leaders. So we're forming to become the next generation of leaders from Tucson as traditional students. And we also have students that are returners. So I like to see these students that are older. We have a population, a high population, I'd say 20% of our student body is older students that have come from the work, who have seen that they can't progress in that work because they don't have the bachelor's degree in order to be moved, even though they have the experience and skill set. It's interesting that we're still seeing some organizations hold that. And so we have students coming in who are looking to get that bachelor's and those skills needed to move into those senior level roles in companies.
So Kiernan Roach, Assistant Dean of Catholic University of America, if someone wanted to know where to go, where would they find you guys?
Yeah, I'd encourage you to come see our campus on any given Friday during the school term on the corner of Stone and Speedway at downtown Pima Community College. Also, too, we're big on personal relationships, and I will come and schedule a meeting with me personally. You can
Great.
Have my cell phone. It's 620-687-3912. Send me Great. A call or text, and I will meet for coffee.
Thank
we'll
you
show
so
you
much. Appreciate that. Steve, appreciate you. Good luck with the
fiesta
tonight. And believe it or not, that's a wrap for Friday, one day on The Morning Voice. We'll see you all again next Friday. Thank you, Matt Neely.
Thank you.
God bless.